time now for the rural news. Te Purongo Tai Whenua with Maya Barry. Maya, it's your last rurals for the year. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Marnie. Yeah. We've made it.
Yes. Oh, well done. I'm still going to hear until Christmas Eve, but Kate Boyan. Hey, so rural contractors are breathing a sigh of relief.
Yes, I think we all are, but they are in particular. More than 100 skilled overseas farm machinery operators have now been through managed isolation and they're out on farm doing time-critical summer work. Rural Contractors New Zealand says these workers are essential as they have the skills to drive complex machines like combine harvesters and there aren't enough local people with the right experience. But getting them into the country has been a long road. First, there were challenges obtaining border exemptions and then spaces in managed isolation. The industry group's chief executive, Roger Parton, says after all the stress, it's great to have people on the ground and he says more help will arrive in coming weeks.
We'll have about 170 in by the time we've finished. That is a bit less than what was originally approved. Couple of reasons for that. In some cases, the contractors have been able to fill the slots with New Zealanders. In other cases, they've applied for people and then the people overseas have decided they don't want to come for a whole number of reasons. And combined with that, the choke point at managed isolation. It's been a juggle, but we've basically got there at the end. We'll have about 170 on the ground by the end of this year.
And what are you hearing from those contractors that are taking these people on?
Huge sighs of relief. The short answer. You know, they really were looking down the barrel at a real problem issue, because it wasn't only the fact that they couldn't get the operators to drive the big machines, but it meant that those that could drive the big machines were going to be working twice as many hours and doing twice as much, and that was an absolute recipe for disaster.
That's Roger Parton from Rural Contractors New Zealand. The Taupō-based dairy company Meraka has a new chief executive. He's Grant Watson, who has worked for a variety of food businesses over the years, including Fonterra. Meraka is owned by a group of Māori trusts and it sources milk from over 100 farms in the central North Island. Mr. Watson replaces Richard Waith, who has been in the role since the company was started 10 years ago. And Grant Watson says he wants to continue Mr. Waith's work.
The direction is very much to continue with the journey that's been set originally by Kingi Smiler, the chairman, and of course Richard, who's done a fantastic job as CEO. If you look at Meraka, it's a fantastic brand and there's so much that sits behind that they produce the highest quality of product. And so it's important for us to continue to develop new customers with new product offerings over time, and certainly to continue to expand in certain geographies.
That's Grant Watson. And this week, Meraka also announced a partnership with Lincoln University. This will see it teach regenerative agriculture from a tikanga Māori perspective to agricultural students who will work with Meraka's farms. And it's time now for our final update from the sale yards for the year. And joining us as usual is Suze Bremner, who's a senior analyst at AgriHQ. And today she's at Stortford Lodge, the Stortford Lodge Ewe Fair. Kia ora, Suze. It's been a very big year, to say the least, and certainly no shortage of things for us to talk about.
Oh, absolutely not. What a year, right? I mean, where do I start? This time last year, I was singing 2019's praises. 2020 couldn't have been more different if it tried. For the first time in history, something other than this wonderful Christmas break that's coming up forced the sale yards to close, and at the same time, some regions were gripped by drought. It was quite simply the worst possible combination. Mm. We went through some extremely tough times, and we still are to a degree, but I think as a farming nation, we've pulled through well, and to me, it feels like we are actually more one now than we ever have been. One positive to me is the resilience of our markets in the face of an international disaster. Prices at the farm gate really could have been worse. Some classes of stock have been hit harder than others, but we've seen these levels before, and so it's not uncharted territory.
And certainly hoping for a good 2021, Suze, but just staying here at the moment, how are things looking at the Ewe Fair in Hastings today?
Yeah, so I've been down here at Stortford Lodge, and the Ewe Fair is just winding up, and we've had a record offering of around 15,000 ewes. Those sorts of tallies we don't usually see until the new year, but a few factors have combined to grow today's. Firstly, unfortunately, farm sales, and those are mostly to forestry. That's meant that we've seen more capital stock ewes, and secondly, farmers have opted to offload ewes earlier this year. So it has been a relatively good day. Capital stock tutus have sold for $190 to $225, And mixed-age youth have been making 150 to 180, and they're just currently working their way through to five-year-old youth now. So I just wanted to say thanks for having me on air, Maya, and, of course, Eric, for another year. And can I just say to the listeners, Merry Christmas, and I really hope everybody gets a chance to put their feet up.
Yeah, you included, Suze. Have a great Christmas.
Thanks
very much. We really appreciate you joining us on the Rural News each week. And just to other news now, government ministers aren't commenting on proposals to overhaul its new rules on winter grazing. The specially established Southland Advisory Group has proposed changes it says are practical. This includes not requiring farmers to work out how deep hoof marks are in paddocks and setting up a streamlined process for managing their operations, pending the arrival of individual farm environment plans. They've gone to the Ministers of Agriculture and the Environment, who won't comment because they've not yet read the recommendations. But when they do, they should stand their ground. That's according to a campaigner for Greenpeace, Steve Abel.
Winter grazing is a consequence of overstocking of the land in regions of New Zealand, such as Southland, where dairy farming is not really appropriate. It's a way to make it work. The consequence of it is real misery for the animals, and it's very bad for the environment and climate.
Steve Abel of Greenpeace. And just finally, StatsNZ says the size of the national beef cattle herd has increased for the fourth year in a row. The department's provisional agricultural production figures show that the number of beef cattle here reached 4 million in June 2020. That's up 2% on the year prior. And this is a return to levels last seen a decade ago. But by contrast, dairy cow numbers, which peaked at 6.7 million in 2014, they've fallen to 6.1 million. And the national sheep flock, that's dipped again too, falling 2% to 26.2 million sheep. New Zealand now has 5 sheep for every person, after peaking at 22 in 1982.